This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Alec Murdaugh doesn't look like he's going to be seeing the light of day other than in a prison yard for pretty much the rest of his life. 40 years is what he was sentenced to in his financial crimes trial. After failing a polygraph test, he made an agreement with the Fed saying, hey, I'm going to take this. I'm going to tell you everything about the money, where it all went, what happened to it. And guess what? Alec Murdaugh can't stop lying. I don't think anyone was surprised by this, but I think it probably did play a role in them choosing to give him the heftiest sentence they possibly could. 40 years in a federal prison for these financial crimes. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, joining me to discuss. Are you at all surprised by this latest development in the world of Alec Murdaugh?
Yes and no. And I say yes and no only because I'm never surprised by the level of delusion of Alec Murdaugh. But surprise in a polygraph? Polygraph is such a wonky piece of technology. It's challenging because the polygraph measures physiological responses to stimulus. Mm-hmm. I don't know because I don't know the details about how and why, but in general, if you believe what's coming out of your mouth and even if you've planted false memories inside yourself and you're now spewing out your mouth and you're wired up to the box, as they say, you'll pop normal. They won't say you're lying, because again, when you have a physiological response to something you're saying and you know it's a falsehood, we generally as human beings have a response to that, and that's what the machine measures. But if you believe your own lies, like when I worked Russian counterintelligence in the FBI, we would polygraph, not because we wanted to, but we'd be mandated polygraph some of our sources that were Russians, that mm-hmm. were Russian intelligence officers. They never pop positive for lying because they believe everything coming out of their mouth. I mean, you put Putin on a polygraph, he believes all that garbage coming out of his mouth, because that's so. Alec Murdaugh, in this case, I think he probably believes everything coming out of his mouth.
Except he failed.
Which is even kind of funnier because, like, yeah, that, he doesn't even, so in other words, he doesn't even believe his own lies, I guess.
that's an interesting, thing, because I think a lot of us have been wondering, like, does he believe these lies? Like, does he just tell himself something and then that's how he operates because he truly believes it? This kind of showed us maybe not. Maybe he doesn't believe. He's just can't stop lying for whatever reason.
And now, I'm not a licensed polygraph examiner. I just worked very closely with him. I had him on my behavioral team. So another physiological response that can trigger the polygraph also is doubt. Mm-hmm. They call it Catholic guilt. They'll say, I've known agents that are great friends of mine that have failed a counterintelligence polygraph, even though they've done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. But they think the question is so important, it'll pop. And they can't stop it. Uh-huh. And so just because he failed the polygraph doesn't mean he's lying. It means he has a physiological response to the question.
Yeah.
This is why the polygraph's not admittable in court, mm-hmm. because you see all these tendrils with it.
Sure.
It's a complicated thing. It says what the polygraph does is it says we have an issue with this question in your head. Let's mm-hmm. explore what that is. I remember when I brought one of my team members on, I'd only had two team members in my tenure running the team that were polygraph examiners. And because for all these reasons, mm-hmm. and the one guy I was bringing on the team as a new member, he had been a polygraph examiner for the Bureau for about 10 years. I said, what do you think about the polygraph? And this is the answer he gave me. It's why I let him on. He goes, it's a great prop. Because they use the polygraph as a prop. What a polygraph examiner is a fantastic interviewer. And so if they can compel you to want to share more truth because you think you're going to pop on a polygraph or have a physiological response, and they do all kinds of games, or they'll play mm-hmm. with you a little bit and say, listen, here's where the pop is.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a great interviewer that gets to the truth.
Is it common that people will fail them even when they are telling the truth? I've never taken one, but I can tell you as a kid, and I think still as an adult somewhat, I remember, you know, I remember being in class and like, you know, who did this? Who took, you know, stole this or whatever it might be. I would always be the one, and I never did those things, but I would be running through my mind and I'd look guilty because I'd be like, gosh, I hope they don't think it was me. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but I would have that perception. I still feel like that. It's the Catholic guilt. In my case, it was the Lutheran guilt that had that going on. And it's just kind of ingrained in you from a childhood, I think, with a lot of us of like, oh, you know? So I do wonder, you know, how common it is that people do fail these things when they are, in fact, telling the truth.
I don't know the stats on that one. But here's what a good interviewer is going to do, though. So say Tony is got the Lutheran guilt going and he knows he's looking guilty because he's thinking about the question.
Yeah.
Well, what a good interviewer does already is they've established a baseline of what your normal is. Mm-hmm. Just like we do. We talk about arcs and baseline. Then they'll ask you what's called a control question or two, where they're going to say, you know, a common one is, hey, did you ever, when you were growing up, you know, take some money maybe out of your mom's purse mm-hmm. or out of your dad's wallet? Something to kind of say, you know, so we're going to get a little bit of a deviation from our baseline and see what deception looks like to you or mm-hmm. what a little bit of trauma or that Lutheran guilt looks like.
Yeah.
That way, when I ask you another question later on, that is actually the real question, I'm going to be able to judge it and gauge it against that control question.
Okay.
So if you spike really hard non-verbally on the next one, we got a deeper issue going on here. We need to explore that more. Or if you kind of maintain either at that baseline of the control question or below, all right, I think we can probably move on.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. So a good interviewer is going to be kind of throwing in some questions that are going to cause some stress because mm-hmm. what we're looking for, what the polygraph is measuring really, and what we're all doing in a good interview is we're measuring, interpreting stress, deviations from the baseline of comfort mm-hmm. to see what stress looks like. And when we got spikes of stress, that's what a good interviewer is going to start exploring, what causes stress. Sometimes deception can cause stress, which is what the polygraph measures, but also bad memories, guilt, shame. That's also very stressful for us as well. That's why we don't jump to conclusions on what causes stress. We just explore and become very curious about what causes stress. I know, long narrative, Robin, explanation on
it. No, it's great. One more on Alec. Obviously, it looks like he's behind bars for the rest of his life, even if the murder conviction is overturned. Do you think he's still going to fight that? Do you think we've not seen the end of Alec Murdaugh yet? Do you think he's still going to keep pushing this and try to get a retrial on that, even though either way he's in jail forever?
You know, I wish I could figure him out. I don't know. My initial impressions on him were, all right, we got a drug addict because mm-hmm. he was addicted, you know, and so I think that ruled a lot of his unhealthy behaviors. I think he came up he had a family arc of feeling safe and control of his environment because they basically ran the whole area, mm-hmm. his whole family for generations. And then I had an inclination that as he got sober, especially behind bars, that he was kind of having some aha moments of reconciliation. I'm going to own it. I'm going to own my behavior. And maybe because of the court clerk, I might be able to overturn one and maybe not serve the rest of my life in jail if I can own it in one area and show contrition here. So I really thought he might be kind of trying to find a way maybe not to die in jail, mm-hmm. but maybe spend the last only year of life maybe outside of jail, by being honest, forthright, and transparent with his behavior. But nah, I don't know. It's kind of gone all.
And then we learn it's Alec Murdaugh.
Yeah, he's just not. I think he screwed up that brain of his so bad, it might not be fixed.
Yeah.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.